Exciting to be in the house of the Lord today. So once again, 1 John chapter number 2. Title of my sermon this morning is The Danger of False Religion. The Danger of False Religion. So I've been preaching through 1 John, and I'm currently in chapter 2, verse 18 to 29. Read with me, please, if you have your Bible. Verse 18 says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you, because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Two more verses. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear," amen, "we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today thankful, grateful for our blessings. Lord, we come with a lot of requests for some sickness. We think of Brother Fry and Sister Lisa. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them, that you'll heal their bodies, Lord, that you'll comfort and encourage them, and they can be healed quickly. And Lord, be with the rest of our church family. We know that there's a lot of needs out there, whether it's physical because of sickness or whether it's financial needs, Lord. But also, we know there's a lot of spiritual needs at all times. And Lord, I pray that you'll just be working in our midst today. Be with the sermon as I preach, Lord. Help me to recall the words that you'd have me to say, Lord, and just give you honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John here is warning us, he says, of the Antichrist, right? But also Antichrists, plural, which essentially is anybody who's against God and false religion. So John really has, big picture here, just saying, hey, there's a lot of false religion, there's a lot of false prophets, there's a lot of false teachers out there, and you guys need to beware. Then he talks about those that kind of were of them, right, but they didn't continue with them, so they really were never a part of them, okay? There are people out there who claim Christianity, but really never were Christians to begin with. Then he tells us that we have an unction, which means anointing, from the Holy Spirit so that we can have spiritual discernment in these things. So three things I want you to notice today. First of all, we see the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Second of all, we see your and mine, your anointing. Your anointing. And then thirdly, notice that he talks about Christ's appearing. Christ's appearing. But first of all, I want to draw your attention to verse 18 and how he talks about the Antichrist. Look at verse 18. "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists." You see, the book of 1st and 2nd John are really the only books that use the actual word of Antichrist. So it is biblical. So, of course, in our day and age, with all the prophecy coming to fulfillment and all the technology around us and everything, we're very fascinated at the end time things that the Bible describes. And when you hear the word the Antichrist, people kind of perk up. Whoa, what are you talking about? Well, a lot of people have kind of conjectured who the Antichrist is or who it'll be and things like that. So I'm not here to pinpoint anything, but I'm going to give you a couple things that the Word of God tells us about the Antichrist. First of all, I want you to notice that he has different names. Revelations chapter 13 calls him the beast. The beast. If you read Revelations chapter 13, that entire chapter is going to talk about the beast over and over and over again. That's a reference to the Antichrist. That is the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 7 references the Antichrist as the little horn. If you've studied Bible prophecy at all, one of the things you'll come across, in, especially in the Old Testament, is it talks about horns as like governmental powers or kingdoms, if you will. So in Daniel chapter 7, he's referenced as the little horn. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 gives him a couple names. It calls him the man of sin. It calls him the son of perdition. And it calls him that wicked. That wicked. These are descriptions of the Antichrist. Now, church, 2 Thessalonians seems to indicate that the Antichrist, in particular the mark of the beast, won't be revealed until after the rapture. You know, Pastor has referenced that as well. So, obviously, he's in agreement with those things. So, we don't need to spend our time, is this person the Antichrist? You know, at one point, everybody thought it was Obama, right? I'm not trying to upset anybody, but at one point we did, right? And, clearly, not to say it couldn't be in the future. Couldn't be him. But my point is, we shouldn't spend our time trying to pinpoint who this particular Antichrist is. But we need to spend time just in the, as the title of the message is, the danger of false religion. We need to be aware that there is false religion around us everywhere. Whether it's the Antichrist or not, there's still false religion that's not the Antichrist that we also need to be worried about. Now, I want to put you at ease for a second. You know, with this whole vaccine and COVID and such, there's been some Christian circles who mention, well, is that the mark of the beast? No, it's not. In Revelations chapter 13, I just want to put you at ease because some people ask these questions. Revelations chapter 13 indicates that the mark of the beast, in the context, is clearly relating to worshiping the beast. So it's not like, oh, take this vaccine, it's mark of the beast. Oh, and you're worshiping Satan. it's not like that. Okay, it's clearly that it's not going to deceive you. And in other words, you're going to know when you get the mark of the beast, those that do, it's because you're worshiping the Antichrist. Okay, so I just kind of want to put that at ease because I know not necessarily in our church, but in Christian circles in general, there have been questions about, is it the mark of the beast? Now, there's no doubt that these things are preparing us for the mark of the beast. You know, the Bible says without it, you can't buy or sell. Well, we see that going on, don't we? So clearly the world is kind of moving in that direction, right? But I just wanted to put you at ease there. Now look at verse 19. Look at verse 19, please. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You see, church, as I mentioned, not just the Antichrist. There are false teachers, false prophets, false religion all around us. And here's the thing. Ask any teenager. They're specialists when it comes to lying. Right? I love you, right? But when I was a teenager, I was a specialist at it. I knew exactly how to get by on some things. And what they'll tell you, the best lie has a morsel of truth. It has a morsel of truth, meaning, well, I'll tell you enough truth to make you believe it, but the rest is a complete lie. You see, too many times people think if somebody says the name Jesus, or they say, oh, I go to church, or, you know, somebody gets up on stage and preaches and says, Jesus, oh, thank you, Jesus. They immediately think they're a Christian who's pleasing God with their message. But that's not the case, folks. That's not the case. There are many people who will claim the name of Jesus because that morsel of truth is in there. And everything else they teach is straight out of hell. I mean, you try their doctrine. In fact, first, John tells us, try the spirits, right? So church, don't be just confused because, in our day and age of the YouTube and, of the internet and social media, too many times, we might be following a preacher or this person on social media and we think, oh, because they're a Christian and they say, Jesus saved my soul. We think they're a good preacher or someone to follow. But if you look at the rest of their teachings, it's poison. Some of them. I'm not saying everybody, right? You have to have discernment, which is our second point we'll get to. But just because they claim the name of Jesus, don't think that they're teaching you and preaching you right. False religion. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15 says this: "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Church, what am I teaching here? You say, "Pastor Kerr, what are you saying? What are you getting at?" What I'm getting at is there's a lot of false religion out there that will try and throw a morsel of truth your way to get you to think that they are a Christian or teaching or preaching the Bible. But you have to look at the rest of their teachings outside of just saying the name Jesus to see if they're a true preacher of God, if they're a true teacher of righteousness. Don't be fooled by the false religion that's out there. Now, specifically into the Antichrist, let me give you a couple things of difference between Jesus and the Antichrist. Of course, we know that the devil likes to try and copy Jesus. So let's look at Jesus Christ. He comes from heaven above. John chapter 6, verse 38. The Antichrist comes from, the Bible says, the bottomless pit below. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. It's a big difference. Jesus humbled himself to death. The Bible says in Philippians 2:8, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself even to the death of the cross. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 tells us that the Antichrist will exalt himself above God. Jesus will humble himself. The Antichrist will exalt himself. Isaiah chapter 53:3 tells us that Jesus Christ was despised and rejected. He was despised and rejected. Yet in Revelation chapter 13, we see that the Antichrist will be wondered after. He'll be marveled. He'll be worshipped and adored. That's the difference. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us that in the end, Jesus will be exalted above all. After he humbles himself, the Bible says that God will exalt him, give him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, amen, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the end for Jesus. Well, not the end, but you know what I'm saying, in the future there. Whereas the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, tells us will be cast down to hell and eventually into the lake of fire, amen? Jesus that tells us in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. That's the Savior that we have. Whereas the Antichrist in Daniel 8:24 tells us that he'll come to destroy. Doesn't that sound like the devil? Speaking of the devil, Jesus gets his power from God or himself. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Whereas the Antichrist, he'll get his power from the devil. Revelation 13:2 says, from that old dragon, okay, that's, which is Satan, tells us in the previous chapters there. And then one more thing. John 14:6 tells us that Jesus Christ is what? The way, the truth, and the life. Whereas the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, he's going to be the lie, the deception that's going to deceive people. Now, just to give you a positive ending before we move on between the Antichrist and Christ, I already said he's going to be cast down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. I want to read this because this gets me excited, church. I hope it does you too. It says, "Then shall that wicked," that's the Antichrist, "be revealed," notice, "whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Amen. Gets me excited. You see, church, too many times Christians are uneasy about the thought of the Antichrist and the thought about the end and the future and things like that. Church, we don't have to feel that way. We should be excited because we know how it ends. We know that Christ ultimately will get victory. And that's where, and we're gonna, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you've admitted that you're a sinner, believed on the name of Jesus that he died and rose for you and accept him as your Savior, you will be with him in this victory. Amen? Now, second of all, let's talk about not only Antichrist, but let's talk about your anointing. Your anointing. Look at verse 20 for me, please. Back in our text of 1 John chapter 2. Verse 20 says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, you're like, what in the world is an unction? Right? I don't use that word in every day. You know, hey, Brother Jim, you got an unction, right? We don't use that word normally, but the Bible explains itself. You say, I don't know what that means. Well, keep reading. Keep reading. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same, what's that word? Anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You see, church, you may not know what the word unction means, but first of all, you could look it up, okay, with a dictionary, and it'll tell you anointing. But if you just keep reading, a couple verses later, it tells you. It tells you. You know, I'll get there in a minute, but I just kind of a side note here. I hate it when people, the Bible's too hard to understand. Bible's too hard to understand. No, I get that. I get this words you don't know. I understand that. But let me ask you this. Have you ever started a new job and they had words that they used that you're like, I don't know what that means? I'll give you an example. Everybody knows I was a school teacher, public school teacher for 10 years, just about. And I'd go to an IEP meeting, talk about a 504 plan or a BIP and an LRE. I'm not making these words up. I'm not just spitting out that. An LRE stands for least restrictive environment. A BIP stands for behavior intervention plan. Right? And we would track these things and they'd be like, okay, Kurt, I need to see your results of the CBA. What they mean is a curriculum-based assessment. An assessment I gave that was based on the curriculum that I was supposed to teach. Well, if you went into the meeting and you'd be like, IEP, 504, CBI, IEP, what are you talking about? But if I explained it to you and you came to another meeting and another meeting and another meeting, guess what? Everybody in education knows those words. Right. It's not confusing to them. It's confusing to you because you're not around it. But the more and more you're around the Word of God, guess what? You hear the word unction and then you're like, oh, that means anointing. So then the next time you read the word unction, you're like, that means anointing. The word unction is no longer confusing to you. Just like LRE isn't confusing to me anymore. Least restrictive environment, right? So, church, my point is, don't let that be your excuse for not reading the Word of God. Let's talk about your anointing. What I mean by that is that, church, we are to have spiritual discernment. The title of the sermon is False Religion, right? The Danger of False Religion. Well, how do you tell? By having this discernment. And the Bible makes it clear. You have an anointing of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you that can help you discern false religion. Look at verse 18. I love how he starts right there where he says, little children. I'm going to stop right there. Little children. Ephesians chapter, so this is John writing. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, the apostle Paul says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, and sometimes I wonder, why does he call us little children? Well, because you're a child of God, I get that. But you know, I think personally why he calls us little children is because children, usually, are teachable. You know why? Because they know in their 5 years of living, they don't know everything. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yes, I know. Alexa said she knows everything. I know. I know. Usually, though, right, kids, they know that they don't know everything, so they go to class with their teachers, and they're excited to learn because they know they don't know everything. So, Christian, my question to you is, are you teachable? Are you teachable? Well, I don't need to go to Sunday school. I've been in church my whole life. I've been going to church for 37 years. But you can still be taught something. Amen? Are you teachable, Christian? Do you have a bad attitude? Well, I already know everything. Pastor Raines or, you know, Pastor Kirk can't teach me anything. Well, you're not being teachable. You're not being teachable. What if it's not a bad attitude, but you just don't care? I don't know which one's worse, to be honest with you. Apathy or bad attitude? They're both pretty bad. Well, I don't even care. I don't know the Bible, but I really don't care to learn more. Well, you need to check your heart there, Christian. Amen? If you want to have discernment on false religion, you need to be teachable as children. What does Jesus say? Except you become as little children, cannot see the kingdom of God. I think it's because they're teachable. When we get older, we think we know everything. You know, me included. I'm telling myself. God says, Kurt, smack yourself. Be teachable. I say, okay, Lord. I know. I'll do. I will. I repent and I will. I'll be teachable. Have you ever been there? Or am I the only one that's not been? Teach my amen, right? You probably have been there as well. Now, look at verse 28 for me, please. It says, and now, little children, abide in him. Well, how do we do that? Well, we're supposed to be in the Word of God. As I talked about, too many people say they don't understand the Word of God. Well, if you're in it, you'll start to understand it. You know, I give the example with Wyatt. You know, Wyatt plays football. If you don't play football, if you went to a football practice and you heard the coach call out plays, you're like, what is he saying? Is he speaking English? I don't even know. What is he saying? You know, the right guard needs to pull and go. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't know the words of a football team, you would be absolutely lost. But if you spent time going to football practice 5, 6, 7, 8 times, you start to get it. Right? Wyatt knows it. He's got it down pat. If Wyatt can do... No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Wyatt, right? I like to joke around with Wyatt. I say, if Wyatt can get it, you can get it, right? So in the Word of God, if you spend time in the Word of God, you'll get it. You'll get it. Just don't give up. Don't act like it's too hard. Say, pray about it. Hey, Lord, you know this anointing I have? Can you speak to my heart what this scripture's meaning? Yes. And He will. Now, I love this. We should never think that God is supposed to change and adjust his teaching or his laws or his commands to accommodate us. Last time I checked, we're supposed to be a servant of God, not him, our servant. Amen? I'm going to say that again. We're supposed to be a servant of God, not him serve us. So then why do we in our modern day churches think, I'm talking about false religion here, folks. Don't throw anything at me. But why do we in our modern day churches think that churches are supposed to accommodate, change their doctrine, change their worship, change the Bible they use to accommodate everybody around us and the culture around us? Is God tell us to do that? No. No, he doesn't. I'm the Lord, I change not, right? We're not supposed to accommodate the world. The world, last I checked, is supposed to learn that Christ is different. And we're supposed to change and accommodate him. Amen. We're supposed to change our life to accommodate what he wants for our life. That's the way the Bible teaches, folks. False religion does it the opposite way. They think, well, if we can just accommodate the world, we'll get more people in, and God will be pleased with that. Well, no, I'm pretty sure the Bible teaches that God is the one who saves people. So if God's the one who saves people, do it God's way. Do it God's way. The more knowledge that you gain of the Word of God, the more you are able to discern what God wants and doesn't want. Now listen, church, I know that you can know a lot about the Bible and not be spiritual. I know that. There are people out there that could quote so many verses. There are people out there who aren't even Christians, for that matter. It might be an atheist, even. That could quote more of the Bible than a lot of us. So does the knowledge of the Bible automatically mean you're spiritual? No. But I don't think you can be spiritual without wanting to have knowledge of the Bible. Right? So you can have knowledge and not have spirituality with Christ. But I don't think you can be spiritual without wanting that knowledge. Right? And I'm not saying you have to know everything there is to know about the Bible. What did I say? I didn't say not. I said wanting the knowledge of the Bible is what will bring that relationship with Christ. When you're in a relationship with a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, you may not know everything about them right away, but when you start dating, you want to learn more. And that represents a good relationship. Amen? So sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, this is false religion, this isn't right. I hate to bash on, you know, other churches that are out there, but I just have to give this one, because I was blown away at this. There's a big church in North or South Carolina, and I hate to do this, but this bothered my heart. It bothered my heart. Andy Stanley, if you ever heard of him. There's a guy named Charles Stanley who's pretty famous. Most of you may have heard of him. And he's a pretty conservative guy. But he has a son named Andy Stanley. And he's got like a mega church, North or South Carolina. I forget now. And he's gone off the rails, okay, doctrinally speaking. Well, anyways, his church, before church started, he thought, you know, it'd be fun. Our worship band wants to play Led Zeppelin song. The Lonely, Lonely, y'all sinners know that song. Don't act like you don't. Right? Lonely, 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 right? Now look, I'm not saying you're a terrible person if you listen to that at your house, okay? I mean, you probably shouldn't because Led Zeppelin are like self-professed Satanists, okay? But it definitely shouldn't be in the house of God. Can we all agree to that? Andy Stanley had his praise and worship band. Now, it was before the services started. I'll give him that, okay? But it was to entertain the people as they were coming in for church. They had their church. You can go on YouTube and find it. Had his church worship band sing that song with the laser light show. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Like that was, oh wow. I was blown away. It's like, are you kidding me? Like this is not church. This is not pleasing to God. This is just absolutely false religion that's trying to just appease the flesh. So church, I'm not trying to be argumentative or mean-spirited. I was just, because normally I don't name other churches and stuff, but that blew me away. I was like, wow. I'm pretty sure anybody who's a Christian can agree that Led Zeppelin is not a Christian. Amen? Can we all agree to that? Yes. So why is it in the church then? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Now, let's move on before you throw something at me. Thirdly, not only the Antichrist, not only your anointing, your spiritual discernment, but thirdly, Christ's appearing. Amen? Look at verse number 28 for me, please. It says, and now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Hey, amen, when you read that with a spiritual discernment, you'll get excited. Hey, his appearing, he's coming, folks, he's coming again. Now, that's what we call the rapture. Even though the world is falling apart, things are crazy. Yes, it's going to get worse and worse. Christian, you and I can be encouraged and excited that the fact that Christ's appearing is going to become someday in the future. Okay, I'm not putting a date on it, right? He will appear. Amen? Now, I wanted to mention this quickly. The word rapture in and of itself isn't in the Bible. And the world out there will be like, ah, the rapture, that's not in the Bible. That word's not even in the Bible. Well, let me explain, because I want you to be aware of things that might make you stumble in your faith. The word rapture means caught up. Now, let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and see if you see the word caught up. I think you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Caught up. Folks, that's the rapture. Okay? We're not teaching you something that's in the Bible. We're just giving it a name, rapture. Instead of saying, hey, you excited for the Lord's when we'll be caught up? No, you just say rapture. Okay? It means the same thing. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says this. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed hope. If you are a Christian today, you have a blessed hope to look forward to the appearing of our Savior. If you die before the rapture, well, you'll be in heaven anyways. But if you don't and the world gets worse and worse, just be excited that at some point the Lord will appear. Amen. It should encourage and excite us knowing that at any moment he could come again. That's what we call an imminent return. And I'm going to close with this. Look one more time for me at verse 28. I'm going to read it one more time. And now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and notice this last part, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Christian, I'm going to close with this. The fact that Christ could come at any moment, it should motivate us to live godly. Should motivate us to live godly. I'm not here to lecture you or yell at you or browbeat you into submission. I'm here to tell you that I don't want to be embarrassed or ashamed when my Lord comes back for the rapture. I'm sure you don't either. So I want to encourage you that if you don't want to be ashamed at his coming, then you need to live for him. What does the Bible say? I die daily. Take up your cross Sometimes it means doing things that, well, I'd rather do this, but God wants me to do this. Christian, that's between you and the Lord, but if you don't want to be ashamed when he returns at his appearing, you need to live godly. So in closing, we see the Antichrist. We see your anointing. Christian, we should be able to have spiritual discernment to see that false religion. But let's be encouraged at his coming appearing.